Good morning. You're listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer, and this is The Coffee Table. I'm Quentin Chandler, and we have two guests today. We're going to be talking about bringing educational opportunities online for the maritime industry here in Homer and the surrounding area. Our two guests today are with the Homer Marine Trades Association, and I wonder if you guys can just go ahead and introduce yourselves and explain your roles with the association, starting with you, Kate.
Okay. Kate Mitchell, president of the Homer Marine Trades Association. And just a little background, it actually goes way back. As a standalone organization, we formed a 501c6 in 2011. Prior to that, Homer Marine Trades was a committee of the chamber and served doing several small things, but by 2011, it was obvious that there was a need for a standalone organization that represented the marine industry, and that's where it started, and we'll go from there.
All right, and Matt.
Yeah, I'm Matt Allward. I'm the vice president of Homer Marine Trades. Kate and others brought me in 2012, just after they had formed. One of my roles there now is the chair of the Workforce Development Committee, we've named it, which is doing the work to try to get programs going in the community to get our youth and young adults educated on opportunities in the marine trades.
Perfect. And you both operate your own businesses. Kate, I'm sure many people know what business you run, and you as well, Matt. But for those who don't, can you kind of update us? Kate, what business are you currently involved with?
Okay. I started what is now Nomar in a school bus back in 1978. And even back then, you could look at that very small harbor and see, okay, there's jobs that will come from that harbor. I need to walk the dock with my business card. So rest of it's history. We've grown up quite nicely since 78, and so is Nomar. You see us in a very nice looking building on Main Street, but it didn't start there.
And Matt, what is the business you're with?
I'm co-owner of Bulletproof Nets. We repair and build commercial purse seines mainly, but also marine hardware. I actually started in 95 working for Dan Moran, who used to run the business, and then took over for him in 2007. And we've just been slowly trying to build the business.
Perfect. So today, we are talking about something you both have personal experience with, but also experience with through the Homer Marine Trades Association, trying to interest young people in the community in the maritime industry, or if they already have an interest, trying to get them the opportunities they need to kind of develop themselves professionally so that they can have a head start jumping into those jobs. So what kind of jobs are we talking about? When you are talking about a marine trade or marine trades, what kind of jobs kind of run that gamut? I'll start with you, Kate.
Okay, well, it started with the fact that the graying of the fleet, their own children who had served as deckhands forever and ever were growing and leaving, and that industry was faced with how do you bring young people in to a very serious, dangerous profession with no training whatsoever. So it used to be every kid in Homer worked on a boat. That was a given. And then that has changed, and the need to get them some basic education on basic safety, boat handling, that kind of thing became very evident. And that's where this all started from. And we all have needs. We all have jobs. There's 95 of us in the association, and any given day, each one of us is looking for that person who has an interest in our business and wants to learn it. We can train, but we need people job ready, understanding what it is to work in the community and work in our industries.
Matt, what kind of jobs are we talking about that some of these young people here in town, people who come to come to Homer, maybe looking for work, might be able to find themselves in if they just have a little bit of this training that Kate is mentioning?
Well, the first obvious in Homer is fishing. Like a deckhand on commercial boat, or the processing side of fishing, because the fish all need to be dealt with when they're landed. But also, marine trades extends into the transportation, which is barge work, which is, there's a lot of need for people in that industry right now, which is a really well-paying career. And then marine trades extends to all of the shore-based support industries, which is what we mostly represent. So, like, the net building, like, all the work Kate does, and to welding, to fiberglass, but, you know, boat rebar, hydraulics, electronics, mechanics, whatever you could think of that a boat needs, there's a job for it and a need for somebody in that job.
That's quite a wide range of jobs, of trades that you could find yourself in, and some of those definitely don't sound like, you know, entry-level jobs that someone with no experience might have a shot at getting.
I mean, it's all, you got to enter somewhere always, and that's why we're trying to set up programs to get people some basic skills. But the real skill that we all need is just
willingness to work,
yeah,
and a desire to learn.
Got you. I'm wondering how much money do these jobs typically pay? Are they, are they good jobs for somebody who is looking to have a career, have a family, settle down in Homer, which we all know, this community, Alaska in general, is not a cheap place to live. Kate?
Well, you use Nomar as an example. Because we're a textile industry, there is great competition, if you will, on just how much someone will pay for an item. And so our constraint is based on that. But we do an awful lot of heavy-duty industrial work that people don't realize that actually does help with that. Our goal is to get those paychecks up to where they compete, because I always tease, I mean, you will pay 100 and something an hour to a mechanic who diagnoses and does. You come to Nomar and fuss at our shop rate, but we have to listen to you, design it, pattern it, and build it to fit and be absolutely 100% correct. It is a highly skilled job, and getting those paychecks have been a real goal for us.
Got you. And is that happening? Are you are you happy with the amount of money that you're able to pay your employees?
It's been a goal, and of course you always wish there was a little more, and that means more business coming through the door. I always tell anybody who works for me, you know, you may be worth $1 million, but look at that front door. What we have is what comes through that front door. So how to build that traffic and build that business, and been at it for a long time and feel like we're succeeding, but there's always room for more.
Matt, how about it? Is there money here for these kids, these individuals who see themselves going into these jobs and, you know, trying to have a satisfying career?
Yeah, I think there's lots of great opportunity for lifelong careers. I mean, I started out when I was 20. Started at $8 an hour. Now I own the business, and we have 12 employees who are all supporting some of them families and have good careers. So, yeah, I mean, it depends. You know, welders, mechanics, higher skilled jobs are probably going to pay more. On the fishing side, you never know with fishing. It could go either way. Mm-hmm. You know, processing jobs are steady money in the summer and lots of overtime. So, if you're good in the processing lower ranks, there's lots of need for upper management type people in the processing industry too. So there's quite a few, and not to mention transportation, barge work could be a very well-paying career. So yeah, there's lots of good opportunities.
All of the tugboat companies are crying for people. And it used to be they could take somebody with no skills And now you have to have, you know, there's minimum how many hours of seat time do you have, what a card do you hold, and that entry one is that basic safety training. I mean, that's an absolute minimum, and that's one of the classes that we're trying to get to Homer, so that somebody who's gotten as far as getting a job on a charter boat or a commercial boat has some seat time, can take that basic training and come out with that card, well, then he'd be eligible to be hired by Foss or Crowley Offshore Marine and use that as a stepping stone for AB or engineer and first mate. So it's that entry-level stepping stone thing of working yourself into a good-paying family-supporting job.
You mentioned that there was... You know, there are requirements. We'll just stick with barging, with tugboat work. There's, you know, some requirements, prerequisites that you have to meet in order to get these jobs. And I'm wondering, do you think that Homer youth, kids who grew up here on the peninsula around the water, maybe who have family members who have boats and such, have an advantage there as far as experience that they kind of maybe grew up with, and you know, that they can translate into education opportunities and also future jobs?
Well, many of the kids will use that summer job on a boat to raise, you know, raise the funding to take classes in the fall. And that really sanguines quite nicely. In being able to pay your own way through school. But again, it's what the goals are, and what we've been doing up at the high school is just trying to open kids' eyes that there are opportunities and there are entry-level places that will lead to careers. Homer isn't dead-end. There are opportunities, but, you know, when you just ride up and down Main Street and see little shops closing, you don't see the whole picture. You don't see some of those opportunities that are in other spots, you know, around town.
Right, right. And there's also the potential. We don't want people to leave Homer who have good job opportunities, but there's also the potential for, if they start these entry-level places, for them to move on to another port and another place, another coastal community where there are jobs as well.
Very true.
And I'd say for the Homer kids who do grow up fishing, I mean, it'd certainly be at an advantage because they have experience on water. They know if the water is a place they want to actually spend their life or not, which you don't really know till you're out there. And if you're Homer kids who grew up fishing, like Kate said, they're earning summer money that could pay their way through training or college, because the classes you need are through Avtec and whatnot for your upper licenses are not cheap.
Right.
So I think it is an advantage to grow up on the water. I mean, kids who get to go out fishing with their parents are pretty lucky, I think.
Right, right. And why not take advantage of that? So what kind of benefit do you see this as? You know, this is great for, maybe great for certain individuals who, like you said, have that experience already going out in the water, maybe see themselves having a career in this industry. What benefit do you see this doing for giving the city of Homer, if businesses have that, you know, that steady stream of these employees coming in?
I'm going to give you a for instance. Happened last year. We were Mark from South Central Radar was doing a focus on learning class, and there are 45-minute overviews of your business and the real benefit that, you know, they, each of the guys, people have talked about how they happened to get into their industry, what education they went through, how they did it. And so, you know, at each one of those 45-minute classes, we've had 23, 24, 25 kids. Last year, there were 9 that sat in on all 6 of those classes. So, you know, first one, well, let's go see what's going on. But I'll go back to Mark Zeist. There was a young lady who sat through the class, and something just sparked. And, you know, we hear that, no, she wasn't a great student. She was bored with high school. She saw no reason to hardly even come. And yet something, in Mark's presentation and South Central Radar's mission, she went and she begged for a job. She said, I want to learn this industry. I want to work here. And Mark said, okay, I'll give you a chance, but you go, I'm not going to hire you until you get your diploma. And that's all of us. We feel very strongly in at least basic education. And she had not quite had enough to graduate. She walked across the street, took her GED, came out with honors, went to work for Mark. She's now in her second year. He has kind of crafted an apprenticeship. She shows up every day. So, one, if we are motivating a kid to see that they are not dead end, what they want to do is important, set about getting the skills to tackle it, that's our mission statement.
Right. And Matt, motivating kids like the example Kate just gave to get into an industry. Maybe it's get into this industry. Maybe they're not seeing, like Kate said, they're not seeing the traditional route that kids are sometimes pushed towards. Graduate high school, go to college. If more kids are following that route and it's working for them. Does it work also to the benefit of the city of Homer economically to see businesses kind of getting those employees, that the ones that they want, not just whoever happens to walk in on off of the street?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a great advantage to the community if we could have our local youth want to stay and work and contribute to the community and keep their earnings in the community.
Gotcha. So yeah, that kind of goes into the perception that a lot of graduates from Homer High School are going to take off and go to other parts of the country, other parts of the state. Is that also so? I'm wondering, is that something that you guys think that these training opportunities might be able to stem?
Homer's a small town. And if you grew up here, you perceive you're dead water, dead end. And there is that, I gotta go. I made a suggestion to the principal one time that on the back of their diplomas that they get a list of the skilled jobs that Homer needs. So once they get outside and they discover it's not all sun and roses, and gosh, if I went back to Homer, what could I do? There are skills we need for people to get. Maybe they do need to go away for a bit, but there are opportunities to come home with skills and make a life in our town. There are apprenticeship for those that absolutely, I'm not leaving, this is my home, what can I do? There are those entry-level apprenticeship positions available in all of our industries. But there's nothing wrong with a little advanced training somewhere and bringing it home. But we're trying to get those training opportunities here locally.
I want to make sure we get the message across. What kind of, you mentioned so many apprenticeship opportunities, wanting to make sure we get the message across, what kind of jobs are here, what kind of businesses want to have these employees who could be coming from these training, coming out of these training opportunities, these courses that you're hoping to start. So, what kind of businesses are we talking about?
Well, let's start with Bay Weld. They have, 24 employees? I would say at least a half a dozen of them have gone through the basic welding at Homer High or through the college and had the basic skills that Alan and Eric would take them on and further train them. And the boats that Bay Weld's turning out. And if you use that one boat industry, I know Nomar does the supplies all of the fabrics for the interiors. We do the upholstery. Any of the outboard shops, give them all a plug or give one a plug. You're working on those outboards. You're, you know, giving service. You're providing that. I know for an industry, you know, they try very, very hard to shop and buy everything from local vendors. So you can just go down that list of what all's in a Homer-built boat, mm-hmm. and just list it. I know hydraulics, electrical, engines, welding, interiors.
All of these have these apprenticeship opportunities that you
Correct.
Mentioned.
Correct.
All right. So next I want to talk about the actual courses or what kind of progress you have made so far in here in Homer. Matt, do you already have courses online that are bringing kids in and kind of giving them an introduction to this industry?
Well, at the high school, what we're doing is they have a FOL, focus on learning period, that's built into their program, which is an opportunity for teachers to bring in different kind of things. So we were invited last spring to do 6 FOLs. So it's just a 45-minute class, 1 day a week, 6 weeks in a row. So it's really just a quick 45-minute introduction. In each class, we've done a different trade. Mm-hmm. And so it's been either the owner or an employee of the different business that comes in and just sits down with the kids and tells them what their trade is about, why they got into it, why they like it, why they stayed in it, what the expectations are for entry-level type skills, what expectations are for realistic entry-level wage and where wage can go with skill building, and just let the kids know that there's these different opportunities. So last spring, we started with just an introduction to marine trades and also and boat hauling from the Homer Boatyard. And then we did a local fishing opportunities and careers in fishing with a couple of local people who grew up and went through Homer High and now own their own fishing operations. And then we did a diesel engine repair and outboards with one of our local marine diesel mechanics, who actually, that was a real good one because he gave him the honest, like, you know, the CTI and these after, you know, college.
CTI, what is that?
Well, the Career Technical Institute, and, you know, these training schools that, mm-hmm. that promise kids, you're going to be, when you graduate here, we're going to find you a high-paying, top-level mechanic job. And really set them straight. And really, you're going to graduate from those schools with basic skills, but you're still going to be at the bottom of the rung when you come to me because you're going to have to learn on the job. But mm-hmm. having those skills is going to help you get in the door. Mm-hmm. But don't expect to just walk out of one of those institutions and be getting. So this is the reality. You're going to come in at the bottom, but have lots of opportunity to work your way up. Mm-hmm. And just don't give kids false hope, but also let them know that if you just get started and stick with it, you're going to end up somewhere.
Right. So basically, you're giving them introductory information, stuff that they can use to take it to the next level. But in this one particular case that you just mentioned, is this also kind of like giving them the opportunity to see that, well, I can... If, you know, we have these courses here, if you guys develop your courses even more, I can take some courses, I might be able to get some training, but I also should be trying to do some kind of work, get some kind of experience as well to kind of diversify myself. Is that kind of where you see this work you're doing now?
Taking the kids? There's some of the careers, there's definitely good, great advantage of going to. Mm-hmm. to one of the schools, but also on the job training is a highly valuable mm-hmm. way to learn skills. So, I mean, we're really just trying at the high school level, and we want to hopefully eventually even get down towards junior high and even younger and just let kids know that, hey, there are great opportunities that aren't going to college that are respectable jobs and good careers.
Right. So, Kate, Avtech and Seward, they have, you know, quite a few programs that they that they run, and I know personally people who have gone up to Seward to take those classes because they just see that as their next step in life, I guess, to get the job that they want. So why would you say that you need courses like that here in Homer, or what role would you see courses, classes that you guys might offer in the future playing as compared to AvTech?
We're all on the Kenai Peninsula, and so how to work out a way that we can offer those, what do you call them, 101 classes, those basic steps of introducing the industry, getting basics down, and maybe lighting a fire to go on. If you could live at home and take a couple of classes through the college and have a job, you're bootstrapping toward what you want to do. I had a young lady work for me. Took her 3 years to raise, working for me and someplace else, to put away the money to go to AvTech. She was absolutely positively motivated. She was going to be a welder, and nothing was going to stop her. She actually was running our cutting table, which is a CAD program, and cutting and learning our industry. So, she had to put away close to $20,000 for that year or six, whatever the course was, welding at AvTech, and to live over in Seward. And so she did it and went in there with CAD experience, work experience, and immediately was at the top of her class because she had the basics. She knew how to work. She knew how to study. And she knew some of the aspects that went into that industry.
So that would, I guess you would say, be the niche that you would be hoping any future courses here in Homer might fill, that they'd offer the introduction and then people can go on to AvTech if they need to or wherever else they need to go.
Well, some of the classes, and I'll step back a minute. A year ago now, Homer Marine Trades had been looking at a class that we wanted to get started, either through the high school, through community college, or through our campus, on that basic seamanship or boat skills, deckhand skills. So it just kind of fell in place. Carol was charged with...
Carol Schwartz
at the college was charged with looking at where the college could be more useful to the community and the trades, what classes were needed. And so we had a class ready to go. Don Lane headed that up, got instructors... and it was six nights, and it was safety and basic knot tying and all of the above. And so anyway, that was a class, and at the end of that class, Carol was actually able to apply to the state of Alaska for a grant to get a coordinator to take on building more classes for Homer. So we were instrumental as in partnerships, and that seems to be what we're good at, partnering and helping make things happen. So about 2 months ago, the college had advertised a job for quite a while, and who was hired was Marshall Bullock. He was a retired Coast Guard, had worked commercial fishing, had worked on the tugboats, had worked in the oil industry. And it just seemed it was time to have a shore job. So Marshall has come with all of this industry experience, and he will be the one putting together classes based on needs. What does the community need? And can we find an instructor? Can we teach it? Who will come? Carol keeps saying the biggest thing is I can build a class, but how do we get people interested in coming and taking the class?
Right. And We're, of course, hoping to have Marshall on the show today, but he's on vacation.
Christmas break kind of hit us a little hard. A lot of people are gone.
As many people are, yes. But what kind of classes do you see? Have you been talking to Marshall?
I've got a list of what's being offered at Kachemak Bay Campus for winter and spring, and I'll just read the list. Coast Guard six-pack boat license prep. Now that's for the charter boat fleet. Skiff handling, deckhand skills, and I believe that's the one that we'd started last year. Outboard boat engine repair and maintenance, DC electrics for boat, basics of vessel systems, and that's going through the whole boat. Hydraulics, electrical, pumps. I'm looking at Matt for, you know, but basically looking at all the different systems that that go into running a boat. I know Matt's teaching the lines, rigging, and gear. And, you know, it's open for other, you know, short-term classes where we could bring in highly skilled techs that would be able to get some certification for the people that are already have jobs here who need that next level of certs for the next step.
Gotcha.
And I'd like to mention that, so Marshall himself has all these skills as teaching some of these classes, but he's also reaching out into the trades community to find subject matter experts, which is us, and get us to come be basically volunteer teachers, which
that's
the school allows. So we're trying to get the people with the knowledge and the skills who are interested in teaching others to come participate. Mm-hmm. Like Kate mentioned, we're doing a lines and rigging class this spring. But also, like Kate mentioned, that Carol says, they got the facilities. They're more than happy to put the classes together. Between all of us, we find instructors. The challenge has been getting people to come sign up and come to the classes.
Mm-hmm.
Carol does a great job getting word out, but like an example is this fall we taught a basic net mending class, which you would think just about every deck skipper would want one of their deckhands to go to. It's a $20 class. We had four people actually sign up.
And would that be because kids aren't interested in the work, or is it kids don't know about it? What do you think that is?
I think it was more that kids didn't know about it, or because any kid. And this isn't just for kids. I mean, college classes are designed for anybody who's wanting to start a new career or thinking about it. So, but for net mending, anybody who's actually gill netting or seining should want to have those skills. So I don't think it's lack of people wanting to go into trades as much as maybe just how do we get the word out and get everybody motivated, which is kind of the whole point of the high school classes. But
right.
For the college, we need it on a larger community-wide scale.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick with this for a second, but first I want to open up our phone lines. If you would like to call into the coffee table and pose some questions or offer some advice to our guests here, you can call toll-free 1-800-979-5224, or you can call locally 907-235-7721. Again, the toll-free number is 1-800-979-5224, and the local number is 235-7721. So, Matt, what kind of resources or information do you still need to make sure you guys are offering the right training and, you know, drawing in what and make sure you are able to draw in the people who want to do this work? You know, you mentioned that you see a shortage in people sometimes in some of these classes that you're offering now, but do you need more information? Do you need more help?
And as far as picking what classes, I mean, obviously, if we could design classes that is what industry needs is the main goal, and then getting the people in the community to be aware of them and hopefully get them excited to come check it out, see what it's about. So from the industry side, we do lots of outreach in our organization toward the different types of businesses and, you know, what are their needs, and try to use that information to help design these classes and help feed that to Marshall. And then, I guess for advertising. I mean, advertising takes money, which is something we don't really have.
Well, we're self-funded, and our membership dollars go right back out in advertising and promoting. And scholarship, last 3 years, we have done a scholarship with the idea of local person wanting advanced training in any of the marine trades fields. We offer a $1,000 scholarship. And that hasn't caught on yet. I mean, kids are so used to a college, you know, oh, I got to be going to college to even look at a, you know, scholarship. Oh, I got to have straight A's to do. Our scholarship is not that. Our scholarship says, what are you interested in? You know, what are your career goals? And are you interested in bringing those skills back to Homer?
And who is sponsoring these scholarships again?
This is Homer Marine Trades sponsors mm-hmm. a scholarship. And the application for the scholarship is online at our website, homermarinetrades.com.
I'm not sure that was completely an accident.
Trust me, it is. My ears are showing, and I kind of blend everything together.
But I'm wondering, we'll forgive you that one. wondering, Kate, what kind of awards do you get, would individuals who are interested in these scholarships be looking at?
I don't understand.
What kind of awards would they be looking at? How much money
in scholarships? It's a $1,000 scholarship, mm-hmm. but it's not limited to just a graduating student. It's open to anybody who's wanting to go into the trades and needs a little extra training. Mm-hmm. In fact, we even made a lot of that available to the high school kids who might want to sit in on some of these classes at the college. And so, we're in our infancy. Last year was the first class that Homer Marine Trade sponsored. This year we've sponsored a few more. And so it is an outreach in a way, but anything you try or you start, it will build with time.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll continue discussing vocational opportunities for individuals interested in the marine trades industries here in Homer. This is The Coffee Table. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a few moments. Thank you for listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer. This is The Coffee Table. I'm Quentin Chandler, and we are here with two members of the Homer Marine Trades Association. We're talking about vocational opportunities for people who would like to go into the maritime industry here in Homer. And quickly, I'm going to open up our phone lines before we jump back into the conversation. You can call The Coffee Table locally at 235-7721. And if you want to call toll-free, you can call 1-800-979-5224. So, Kate, the Homer Marine Trades Association is not, you're not an organization that was designed to promote education opportunities. You are not, I'm not going to say you're against education, but you're not specifically designed as an advocacy group for education opportunities. So what, can you kind of explain how you fell into this role? Like, how do you fit in this role you're playing right now?
The original mission statement stated that we were going to promote Homer as the premium or the best place. I mean, you're competing. So the best place to bring your boat for boat work. And as a self-funded business organization, each one of us are invested. Any boat that comes to town, chances are we'll all do a little bit of work on it. And we've been lucky over the years in the fact that, you know, we have a harbor. Northern Enterprises put in a travel lift early on where you could pick, you know, you could get those boats out of the water. Those of us in business, you can see the opportunity. There are this many boats coming to town to be hauled out. We all kind of formed our businesses. And then you're looking at that, looking out beyond the horizon, looking at the geography and what other boats could benefit by coming to Homer to get their work done. And if you look at Homer as the working man's place, you're a fisherman, you're a businessman, but you run your own operation and you're going to want to be involved in each facet of the work. Coming to Homer, you're allowed to do that. You're going to talk to each of the vendors, each of the service providers. You're going to negotiate the work. You're going to work hands-on with them. And so in that respect, other places you turn your boat over to somebody else and you lose control, you bring it to Homer, you're actually an integral part of getting that boat put back together and getting the services and done well. And so that's what we base our bring your boat to Homer. Homer's in the business of boats. Choose Homer for your boat work.
Mm-hmm. And then you eventually turned into, hey, we want to have some kind of education opportunities for people who are here in town and people who might be coming to town looking to go into these jobs we have.
And very quickly, we have invited boats to come, and they're coming. And the requirement of needing new employees and being able to hire within your own community pool and not having to go outside to hire, getting young people trained up to take those good jobs that are here or are coming in the future.
I'm wondering, you both own or run your own businesses. Have there been times in the past as a boss that you have struggled to hire the right people, and because not just maybe they weren't the right fit for the job, but because they didn't have the experience or the education that they might have needed?
Absolutely. I mean, you can only choose from the people coming through the front door, and you know, our business was built and based on being able to run a sewing machine. We don't teach home ec anymore. Kids don't, you know, the young people don't even learn how to run a sewing machine. We don't have a lot of different classes that prepared people for those entry-level jobs anymore. The budget has kind of stripped a lot of those job entry training jobs away from the high school. High school has very, very little in opportunity in basic training for entry-level jobs. And so we recognize that as a problem and how to help get that rebuilt or work on programs that will help them get a little, yes, I know I'm going to have to work. I know I need a skill. What is that going to be? Where does your heart take you? What do you like to do? You like to tinker around on cars. You like to do this. You like to do that. Could you make a living at it? And here's that entry-level training to get you started.
Matt, you said that work ethic was a big, big part of getting the right employee. Does seeing somebody that went through a little bit of training beforehand and completed those courses, does that say to you as a business owner, this person probably wants to work and probably is willing to put in the effort that I want to see?
Well, yeah, at least says that they're motivated to try to get there, and hopefully some of these courses, it takes some work ethic to get through. I mean, it's a question we've asked. Can you make a class to teach work ethic? I don't think there's an answer to that except work. But it's the number one skill in probably any trade there is. Mm-hmm. It's just that willingness and desire to be there and to do your best and to want to learn more and become better. So in my particular business, honestly, people who actually think they have the skills for working on nets probably have learned them on a boat and probably have not learned the techniques we might use. So there's actually habits I have to untrain and then retrain people. So we've looked for just people who seem to have a really good work ethic and a good attitude and want to be there, want to work, want to learn, and start with that. And then the on-the-job training, if you start with someone who's motivated, on-the-job training works really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious, you know, if you you sometimes have to untrain people to do the work that you want, would in your particular case, not for everybody, but in your particular case, would training in some kind of vocational capacity not necessarily benefit people who want to go to work with you?
Well, if it's a class that we design and are teaching in the local community, I think it would be a good benefit for sure.
All right.
And any class you're going to, you know, any skills you're going to learn is still a good thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair point. So what advice, I'm wondering, do you guys have for kids here in Homer and also people who maybe didn't grow up in Homer but are moving here and want to get into this industry? What advice do you have for them as far as next steps that they can take?
So my business sits on middle of town, Pioneer Avenue and Main Street, and we do advertise. We always have a job opening for someone with good skills, power soy machine operator. You know, you've come out of industries on the East Coast and you can run a power machine. So I leave that one open at all times. And so I end up seeing a lot of new people in town looking for a job. And I will take out our marine trades booklet and hand it to them and say, well, you don't have power soy machine, and I'm listening to what your skills are. Go here, 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 and here. And if somebody gives you a chance, take it and work hard. Somebody else will see you doing a good job and offer you the next good job. But you have to be willing to, I won't say settle, but you have to be willing to come into Homer with a work ethic that I really want to be here, and I'm going to work hard at whatever it's going to take to make it work. And then the next job opens up. But yes, Marine Trades has a lot of opportunities, and I tend to, here, go talk to Bill, go talk to, the guys at Desperate Marine. Those mechanical skills will get your foot through the door. I drive truck. Well, go talk to, this one and this one. So I do see a lot of the new people looking to get started, and that's my word of advice. You're probably going to not start with what you made outside. We're a small community, and our wages are based on what jobs we can take in. And that's sort of why we were going outside of Homer, inviting boats to come in to bring more work, bring more jobs to town.
Thank you, Kate. Matt, what about you? Do you have any advice for specifically the Homer youth who might be looking to come into this industry and work for some of these businesses here in town?
Well, I mean, certainly if you're in high school, definitely go to the FOLs and see if there's anything there you'd be interested in. the next set of FOLs is going to be coming up at the end of January, January 21st, it looks like. And if we don't have all of those scheduled yet, we're actually still looking for some tradespeople that want to come in. But there will be, I know the Coast Guard will be doing a class, and they'll have their damage control trailer up there, which has about every way a boat could leak, and they put water to it, and you actually have to get in there and try to stop leaks. So that's certainly one place to start. If you're looking for a job or think there's something you want to career in, just go to the Homer Marine Trades website. It has all the businesses are listed there, and you'll actually find that most all of us are more than happy to talk to people, let them answer questions, let them know if we're looking for people, what kind of skills we're looking for. So a good place to start is to go to the website or go by Kate. But we're all more than happy to try to help people out, and a lot of us have an idea of what other of the businesses in the association might be looking for people, and like Kate mentioned, any one of us is happy to try to steer people in the right direction if they're not maybe suited for us. And then the college classes, they're cheap. There's actually, we do have funds available for people who want to go to the college classes and maybe can't afford it. So come talk to us about that too.
And I have a couple of things, but first I'm going to touch on you mentioned if people want to, they think they want a job, they can just go, look up the different businesses here in town. Are the businesses here in town hiring right now? I mean, it is winter. Do they, are those jobs open right now, or should people be waiting till the season starts?
Our busy season is the winter. The boats that come in, they've brought the boats into town at the end of the season. They've hauled them out. It's our busy time of the year in doing the repair work and the rebuild work to get that boat ready to go back out fishing in the spring. So I know a lot of them will run full-time hard all winter long and then run a skeleton crew through the summer. So in some instances, you already have a job on a boat, but you need the other 9 months of the year covered. You get into the industry to fish in the summer and work on boats in the winter.
Right. And Matt, you have your FOLs, which are at the high school, and then you have the courses offered by the Catchimac Bay campus here in town. How would you evaluate the offerings that you guys have right now? Would you say that it's a good start? It's where you want to be? It's not quite where you want to be, but it's what you can do right now. How would you evaluate what you have going on right now?
Well, it's all just a start. I mean, we've only been at this for a year now, and as Kate mentioned, it takes time to get things up and running at the high school. The FOLs are just what we could get our foot in the door now, so it's just an introduction. I think the longer-term goal is to actually bring back some career technical education classes, vocational ed, they used to be called. That's an actual full class for different skills in the school. Homer High actually was kind of built with vocational ed at the very high level of priorities, and now it's delegated to just one or two classes. So we're certainly looking at giving more actual training opportunities on the basic levels, because the FOLs are just an introduction, trying to get people aware. Mm-hmm. And excited. Step two is to give them something to actually do. With the college, getting Marshall on board has been a great help to expanding. So I think we're just getting started there and just trying to find the industry, the balance between industry needs and what the people want to learn, and developing the programs that make the most sense.
And Matt, do you have any advice for business owners who think that there isn't enough employees coming out of Homer who, have the advantages we discussed earlier and the training that they want to see? Do you have any advice for business owners and how they might be able to be involved in making a change here?
Just come get involved. Come look. Come talk to Kate or me. We're looking for an industry that wants to help create the programs that they need at both the high school and college. So get involved.
Mm-hmm. And so they could do anything, I guess?
I'll put 2 cents in. We're all very small businesses with relatively small budgets, if you will, but we're all motivated. Take, for instance, the King Career Center in Anchorage is well organized, and I know a big oil company put $500,000 into their building to get the equipment and the people they needed so that they had people to hire. Now, on a smaller level, what can Homer do to rebuild that structure for career training classes at the high school?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So it's always going to take a little bit of investment to get some return.
It's going to take an investment. And you look at the budgets, back in 2011, our state looked at Alaska Maritime Workforce Development. They did a big survey, and Marine Traits happened to be in the right place. We helped them form the questions to ask statewide. We've always been in the loop. And so after 2 or 3 years, they came out with a big thing, Alaska Maritime Workforce Development Plan. Mm-hmm. And had great plans to get these classes rebuilt and to get things going. And then our state budget is now kind of in the... And so it's kind of in limbo like anything else. But if the plan doesn't just collect dust on a shelf somewhere, mm-hmm. if grassroots-wise we can keep the fires going to get more training and bring more work... Alaska has always stepped over all of us to get to the oil people. Now, gosh, I guess maybe they have to turn around and look at the rest of us who do, on a small level, contribute to the state.
Gotcha. Well, Kate, Matt, that is basically all the time we have left for the coffee table. Thank you guys for coming in. I really appreciate it. So this is the end of the coffee table. This is KPPI AM 890 Homer. Thanks for tuning in. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is coming up next.